I hope that's your story as well, that when you think about your life and what you're all about, Jesus isn't just a part of your life, that you say, oh, he is my life. He bought me with his own blood. He rescued me. He's my whole life now and forever. Well, we're in this time, we're talking about our Reaching in Love campaign, our desire to make space for others, because we want them too to know Jesus Christ. It's critical that everybody, even in our own area, hear about Jesus. We pray they'll put their trust in Jesus, grow in their faith, be launched out from a church like this. And I'm going to share about that from Acts chapter 1 in a moment, but I want you to hear first from the Buckaloo family. And after the Buckaloo family, by video, shares with us, I'll come and bring the Word of God to us.
So for us, it's always been kind of a family church. We've been members since 2000. When we were first looking at churches, we were trying to find a church that we could grow with, one that we were both be comfortable with. Neither one of us are native Richmonders, so it took us a little while to find a home church. But when we found here, it was just like being at home.
I like being at Staples now because we get to send off different missionaries. I feel comfortable. I feel like I can tell anybody anything.
For us, it is family, but because we don't have family close by, these are the people that we celebrate with, that are involved in our lives every day.
I mean, we've really enjoyed being able to raise our children here. We know that they're receiving the Word of God, preach to them in a lot of different ways, and in their Sunday schools, getting it from their Sunday school teachers, from babies. We still talk to the ladies at Easter Rock, all of our girls, and they're excited to watch them grow. Kaylee was baptized here, so that was exciting to see, really kind of watch her put her commitment to Christ, which is always great to see. But just to see the different programs that they can be involved with Awana and BBS and the different Sunday schools they are a part of, we just really enjoy being able to be a part of those.
And we know the people who invest in the children here are again, just kind of the extension of who we are as a family. And that they know that there's other adults that love them, that care about them, that are encouraging them to follow where God leads them. And these will be the people that continue to follow alongside them as they grow.
We've been members of the church since the administration wing was the sanctuary. So it was cool to be a part of the original building of the new sanctuary. And we've seen how God's been able to use that space to grow our church body, but also, you know, be able to send people out, which is really great as well. So it's kind of interesting to see how God's going to take the space that we're looking at and what he's going to do with it over the next few years. We might actually be able to reach more and reach in different ways, because, you know, over the last 10 years, we've had a lot of growth in our local missions opportunities with, you know, just not just Williams Basket, but like the homeless ministry and a lot of other different ministries that started as a result of a need. And so it'll be interesting to see how people come in to the church and what kind of needs that they're able to meet and see and meet as well.
I think that God is going to protect this church, and also watching little kids grow up and learn about the gospel, it just makes me happy.
As long as what the church does with all of the space that it has, as long as we're serving the community, that we're serving one another, that people are having the opportunity to hear the gospel and respond, that's what we want to see happen with anything that we invest in.
Well, we appreciate the Buckaloo family doing that for us. We asked them off camera, you know, why do you like being a part of this church? Something like that. And then secondly, why do you want to be a part of making space for others? And that's what they were responding to. I appreciate you all the stars of that video right over here. So thank you so much for sharing with us that. At the end of this message, we're going to hear from the Skinner family. But right now, I want us to look to Acts chapter 1. If you were here last week as we began this short campaign to talk about making space for others and considering our part, by the way, Commitment Sunday next week as we pray together about what do we feel like God's leading us to do over the next 3 years to make room for others to experience Christ here with us. But last week, I had us in a very different passage, an unusual passage, 2 Kings chapter 6, chapter 7. In fact, somebody teased me last time after one of the messages, said, "Hey, Jim, I was wondering how you were going to go from cannibalism to a capital campaign." So if you were here last week, remember the passage was unusual, a tough time in the life of Israel, and there were four lepers at the gate realizing if we go into Samaria, there's starvation there, there's cannibalism going on in there. We can't go there for relief. How about if we go over to the enemy, to the Arameans, and see just what's up? And when they got there, God had flushed out the Arameans and left all their stuff. And these lepers went from being poor outcasts to being filthy rich in a moment. And they were burying the treasure. Remember that? Burying their silver and gold. And they were stuffing their faces with food. And then it dawned on them, hey, we're not just grateful. We have to have compassion for those back in the city where they're starving. Remember the guy said, one of the lepers, this is not right. They even said, this is a day of good news. We're going to be punished if we just bury our treasures and we don't share the good news with those starving back in the city. And so they went back and it was a great day of salvation for Israel. And so we picked up that and we said, okay, here's the leap from cannibalism to capital campaign. Our heart is that we are grateful that we've been rescued. And not just grateful, we have compassion for those yet to be rescued, right? That's our heart. And so this building campaign fits right into that. What about making space for others? Like the Buckaloos talked about, as you're going to hear from the Skinners in a moment. What about that? There was room for us. We want to make room for others. Well, now I have us in a more traditional passage, perhaps. Acts chapter 1. Same message, though. That God has given us a mandate to reach others. It's why we're on the earth. And so let's look together. Acts chapter 1, picking up in verse 4. Gathering them together, it's Jesus talking. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. What I want us to see when we look at this text is that the mission God has given to us is a both and mission, not an either or mission. Now, some things in life are either or. A lot of things in our spiritual life are either or. Think back with me. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you have to choose who will be your master. Remember the two competing masters Jesus had in view in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, you can't have both God and money as your master. It's either or. If you say, I'm going to make money my master, and that's going to be my driving pursuit, he says, you're going to hate God. You can't have both of them. And so you must choose who will be master of your life, God or money. Or how about in Joshua's time? Joy and I have inscribed in the inside of our wedding bands, Joshua 24:15. And you know the context there. It's an either-or choice. He put it before them this way. Choose this day whom you will serve. You can't have both. Are you going to worship the gods of your forefathers beyond the river, or will you worship Yahweh, the one true God? And Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's an either-or choice. But a lot of things in life are both and choices. Here we just came off Thanksgiving, and I made some both and decisions during Thanksgiving. So one of the big decisions that faced me during one of the meals was, is it going to be pecan pie or chocolate pie? I wasn't interested in either or choice. I want both, right? And so glad my pants still fit this morning, and I know you're having the same sensation. Or you want mashed potatoes or stuffing? No, not or. I want and. We're going to do both. Listen, when it comes to the mission of the church, it's a both and mission. In other words, are we to focus internationally Or are we to focus locally? And God would say, why are you talking about a choice? Acts 1:8 tells you that it is a comprehensive mission. We must be thinking about both. In fact, it's both in a lot of realms. Are we to minister in word or in deed? We'd say, why would we be choosing? We're to do both. Is it to be a ministry of compassion or evangelism? Both. Is it to be evangelism or missions or compassion? All of those. So it's local, it's international disciple-making that God's put before us. Acts 1:8 helps us with this comprehensive understanding of our calling. It's an important word for us, isn't it? And maybe you've noticed with me, here we are, and we've got these big giving opportunities right ahead of us, don't we? Here we're on the front of our bulletin. We've got this picture of this train of people in South Asia without Jesus, and we're looking at $115,000 that we as a congregation want to cheerfully give into so that more might hear of Christ. We notice that, and then inside the bulletin, here we're talking about reaching in love, and here's a sermon about, hey, let's make space for others here. And we say, which is it? We say, it's both. I mean, this is just inherent to the mission that God gave to his disciples, and we're included in that. Oh, we care about both. Somebody might ask, well, are these two offerings really in conflict with one another? We say, absolutely not. This is the nature of the mission. Even in our normal budget, this is how we look at it. Even in our regular giving, so many wonderful things go on through our regular giving. We are taking care of compassion ministry. In fact, one of the great things we give to out of the offerings you and I give into the church is to the cooperative program. And that's money that we give away, and it does so many amazing things in alleviating suffering here in the United States and around the world, and educating men and women for ministry and missions, and getting churches planted all around. It's a wonderful thing that we're a part of. So we're already thinking in this way. When we give, it's going to lots of things. Our budget takes care of evangelistic ministries, international ministries, local church planting, and we love it this way. And so when we think about giving to our own neighborhood here, what we've called an investment here in Glen Allen in Henrico County, we say this is right in harmony with the heart of the mission that God's given us. Look at it again, Acts 1:8. Notice how comprehensive. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses where? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. It's good for us to remember that the point of the New Testament is Jesus. The old covenant was pointing ahead to a Messiah was needed, and a Messiah is coming. New Testament is all about he has come, the Savior is here. Here's how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So that's the point of the New Testament. But have you ever stopped to think about what is the context of the writing of the New Testament? Is it not missions? The context of the writing of the New Testament is not somebody sitting off somewhere just writing things detached from real life. But the real life they were a part of, those writers of the New Testament, these were men on mission. The expansion of the gospel and churches being planted. And this helps us when we think about what is the Christian life about? What's the normal Christian life? What's a normal church supposed to be about? And Acts 1:8 informs that. Oh, we're to be witnesses. At the really heart of who we are and what we're to be about, we're to be witnesses. And it tells us where we're to take it. We certainly don't pick up from reading the New Testament that the goal of life and the goal of a church is our own comfort and ease. The only way you could come away with that message, that the goal of the Christian life is my own comfort and ease, is if you're ignoring the book, right? Because you're reading the New Testament, you've got guys like Paul who are gunning it for the gospel. Desperate to get the good news to other people who are desperate without Christ. That's what we pick up through reading the scripture. We don't find the model people seeking their comfort. We find people over and over again in the New Testament, people laying down their comfort that they might reach people with everlasting life. And so the message of the Bible is not, hey, I want to be a reservoir of blessings. No, I want to be a channel of blessings. Yes, Father, I need you to bless me. I need you to bless my family. As we've been singing about, you're my daily bread. I need you to provide for me. But God, at the same time, I pray that you'll supply me in such a way that I can be a channel of blessings to others, both near and far. And so here in the book of Acts, we get the real picture of the normal Christian life. But some people miss it. Some people look at the life of missions as something that some unusual people do, and we think, man, I'm glad God called them to go do that because I don't want to do that. And so we think of those missionaries as these weird, unusual people that we'll support and we'll go back to, well, I just want to accumulate stuff and I just want to live a life of comfort, but that's not the message. All of us have a part in the mission. Didn't he say to his disciples, you're going to be my witnesses, and you're going to do it here, and you're going to do it near, and you're going to do it far. Acts 1:8 clarifies an awful lot for us. 2 points to this, and then we're going to hear from the Skinners. I like this. I like how Jesus here tells him, you're going to do some things that are worldwide in nature, starting right where you are, but don't do anything first. Before the command to be witnesses, did you notice there in verses 4 and 5? Don't go anywhere yet. The first command is wait. And isn't that hard? When you want to go do something exciting, even something exciting for God, you just want to get after it, don't you? But the first command is here, don't go anywhere. You need something from me before you launch out and become worldwide ministers of this gospel. Wait. What were they waiting on? They were waiting on the power of God. And that is really the posture of our church. As we pray together as a church, we certainly understand very clearly we can't accomplish anything for God. We don't want to run around trying to do stuff for God. God is an omnipotent God. We need God to accomplish things through us. So our posture is, Lord, we're available. We're fully yielded. We're fully surrendered, and we are desperate for your power to be at work. And so we very much want to stay in this posture of waiting upon the Lord. Lord, we need you. We need your strength. We need your Holy Spirit. And thank the Lord, we live in the days when the Holy Spirit has come and he indwells each of us as believers. And the book of Acts tells us what a difference it makes when God himself is working through ordinary men and women like us. So the first point here is that we must be empowered for ministry, even local ministry. It's not just those missionaries over there that need God's power. We need it every day if we want to see the things happen in our community that need to happen. So the first point here is that we need to be empowered by God for this ministry. But secondly, we find that we're commissioned to take the gospel, did you notice it, everywhere. We're to be witnesses. Do you, by the way, embrace that as your role for you, not just for others? Okay. I am to be a witness of the things that Jesus has done for me, as Brian shared about. A before Christ story and an after Christ story. I am to be a witness of what Christ can do for others. And there's a progression here. I want to make Jesus known right here and make disciples right here, but it's going to progress out to the ends of the earth. And so you and I as a church, we say we take that on. We want to be faithful to the entirety of the mission of God. We're not going to be either or. It can't be this way. Well, I'm more inclined to have a heart for missions, and I don't really care much about here. That would be unusual. Or if somebody said, I only care about here, and I don't really think much about people in another part of the world, that would be unusual. Because Acts 1:8 tells us, these all have to be on our hearts. It is a both-and mission. So what does that look like as an expression of our local church? Well, when we talk about our Jerusalem, we're talking about our local area. The disciples would have heard this and thought, all right, I'm going to be a witness right here near me, Jerusalem for them. We'd say right here, Henrico County, Richmond area, this is it. And so you and I want to be passionate to make disciples, to reach people, bring them in, build them up, and launch them out right here in our area. And that's why we're always investing right here. Every Sunday when we gather together, this is us being witnesses to Christ. We are a light into our community. In fact, you want to know what our number one strategy is to reach our neighbors? It's you. It's not some program that we're going to unleash, but by design, when you and I go out as personal witnesses of Jesus Christ in our circles of influence, oh, that's when we are having a great impact here. But beyond that, we do with things like the Fall Festival. Wasn't that fun? And what was the purpose of things like the Fall Festival? It's when we say we're going to throw a big party and we're going to invite the community here that they might come to know us, but through that come to know Jesus Christ. And so we invest a lot of man hours and a lot of money into something like that, that we might reach others. It's what the Christmas Eve service is about. Having that at Glen Allen High School, off property here, why do we do it? We put a lot of money into that, a lot of volunteer hours. We're going to need you, by the way, to help us put that on this year again. But why do we do it? We have a passion to reach people right here in Glen Allen. They need Jesus. They need him in Bangladesh, but they need Jesus right here. And so we're not saying either or. We're saying both. In the church planting efforts we're a part of here locally, reaching internationals here in various ways, oh, we're all a part of that here. So you and I, as a one local church, must remain vibrant and healthy in order to reach this ministry field that God's given to us. But Acts 1:8 goes beyond that. And you know this passage, Jerusalem and then Judea, that area ringing out beyond that. And we think, what is that for us? That would be a bit analogous to our reaching Virginia. And what a great partner we have in the SBC of Virginia. What a great partnership of churches trying to reach the area. I wish I had time to tell you about some of the wonderful church planting efforts that you and I get to be a part of through our giving up in Northern Virginia. All those people up there, many internationals, and just some beautiful ministries and church planting efforts among Muslims who've moved into Northern Virginia. It's awesome. And you and I are a part of that, and we're taking seriously that people need Jesus even beyond the Richmond area, even in our own state. We could talk about Samaria and perhaps think of that as the United States for us. And through the North American Mission Board and our partnership with them, we've gone on many trips in those parts of the country. We certainly want to do more of that. But through our ongoing giving, we're supporting church planters across the United States in places like Chicago and New York and Philadelphia and San Francisco. And what a joy that is. But then, of course, even to the remotest part of the earth. And man, isn't this at the heart of Staples Mill? We don't need really to be motivated in this realm so much because it's such a big part of who we are with so many IMB staff members in the church. We still have 7 IMB families serving overseas right now who are members of this church. Another family in the pipeline to go out into 2016 to go join them serving at the ends of the earth. And we love that. But it's not just the IMB people. All of us, we share it. We know there's an urgency to get the gospel to billions of people who've yet to hear that there's a Savior who could forgive their sins and give them everlasting life. And so here's our posture, church. Acts 1:8, we go, not interested in either or. We understand our Savior's given us a mandate, and it's a both and mandate. And so what's our response? Our response at Staples Mill has always been simply to our Savior, yes, yes. You've told us to be witnesses. Our only response to Jesus is yes. It would delight me to talk about you and what you've done in my life and what you've done for my friends. It would delight me to do that. So absolutely, I want to be your witness, Lord. And where will I do it? Lord, together, this body of believers, yes, we'll do it near with zeal, more zeal than ever. We want to reach Glen Allen and Henrico and Richmond. But Lord, we want to be faithful to take on this mission everywhere you've called us to. Yes, we want to send more out into ministry and missions beyond this place. And so it all begins right here. And it involves the whole world, and it involves all of us in taking up this mission. And with that, I want you to hear from the Skinner family. Again, we ask the question, why is it that you like being a part of this church family? And why do you want to be a part of making space for others? I think they say it very well. Listen to them with me.
I enjoy Staples Mill just because there's such a... I guess the right word would be...
Community.
Community is good. I like that word. that there's young folks here, there's old folks. It's just such a great dynamic here. There's just people from every walk in life, from every point in their life. And
it's a good blend.
It's a very good blend.
For me, growing up in the church and being young, it was a good community for me too, to make friends that had the same beliefs, and I could hang out with them at school and at church, and they would just be a good atmosphere for me to be here.
I think Staples Mill has done a wonderful job of just kind of allowing parents and children to grow in Christ. The growth that our students have, you know, from little ones all the way up, you know, through high school and all, you know, that there's our church family comes alongside them and loves them and involved in the lives of our students. And it's just a wonderful thing to watch is that the church family really is our family.
I like the fact that they had the different life groups for the different ages of wherever you were in your life.
I think we're grateful as a family because when we first started coming here, the new facility had just been built and there was plenty of room for us. And as our church continues to grow and more families keep coming, we want to make room for them as well. There's a lot of wisdom in place to build our existing sanctuary, and we want to continue to make room. There are lots of people here in Glen Allen that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and we want to make room for them so they feel welcome, that they can come, and that we can minister to them. You know, we don't want to be satisfied with just what we have now. There's a huge group of people here we haven't reached yet.
I like the fact that they're building, the building is going to have extra life group spaces, and the space for the Awana will be really nice. And, you know, Don and I talk, you know, we have these outreach programs. We have the Fall Festival, we have PBS. You know, what if we get 10 families that join the church from one of those outreach programs. You know, we want to make space. We want to keep reaching the people in the community. And, you know, there was space for us when we joined. So, you know, we'd like to have space for someone else.
We want to continue to see more people come. And maybe someday Staples Mill stretches from Warren Road all the way down the street, halfway to Henry Road down there. But you know, whatever it takes. I mean, there's a hunger for people to want to know about the Lord, and our nation is searching now, and we need to continue to be that light at the corner of Warren and Staples Mill Road to shine into this community. So, and we want to do that, you know, with this building, you know, in order to invite people in. And in turn, we want to launch them out of this place, and we want to launch them, you know, missionally into our community, into our world. It's not as much as we bring in, and we bring in on Sundays mornings. It's really how much or how many people we're sending out of this place.
Don't you love that mentality? It's really not how many we bring in. It's how many through the years we can launch out. And really is the heart of the church. Well, if you're like me, you think, well, I'm one person, or I'm a family with limited resources, and I want to be a part of all this, but how do I do this? And you're hitting me with two things at once. And here's how Joy and I are processing this, and I'm sure you're doing the same thing. Lord, here Lottie Moon season's right on me, the international missions. And so here during the month of December coming up, that's when we're giving you that. So that's the immediate I want to give now. And so, Lord, I pray for resources to make a bold gift to international missions this month. What we're asking you to indicate next week during our Commitment Sunday in Reaching Love is, Lord, what are you telling us that over the next 3 years or so, what would you have my family give there? And so that's how we're asking you to process this. And again, we're looking to God. We're asking for His power, His provision, that we can respond in this way. Well, let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll have a time of decision. Father in heaven, we are grateful that we're among the redeemed. We once were lost, very lost, and in complete darkness, and Lord, we didn't know our way out. And Lord, by your grace, you reached us. You opened up our eyes to our need. You opened up our eyes that you, through your Son Jesus, is the one who can meet this need. And you drew us into your family. We're amazed. We're grateful we haven't gotten over the joy of being yours. And now, God, we do take up the mission you've assigned to us to be witnesses, to tell others near and very far how they can find eternal life through you as well. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be compassionate to others. And then, God, we're seeking you for your guidance in our giving even. Yes, we want to be faithful to speak of you this week locally. But, Lord, we also are seeking you for provision, how to give into these different offerings. And, Lord, I trust in you and that you'll speak to my family and to every family, every single in the church. Show us our part and making you known locally and around the world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.